Hi, welcome to the Frihoff Institute of Progressive Halakha. I'm Rabbi Mark Wachowski with the 12-minute shiur number 29, When Doctors Do Harm, Medical Malpractice in the Halakha. We'll be using a source sheet that's available for download at our website. That's www.frihoffinstitute.org/learning and scroll down to the 12-minute shiur. In our last two installments, we've seen that the halachic tradition regards refuah, the practice of medicine, as a mitzvah. So how does that fact affect the physician's liability for damages when she or he makes a mistake in the course of medical treatment and harms the patient, maybe even kills the patient? Is the physician held liable for these damages just as you or I would be held liable if we caused injury to another person? Or does the fact that the physician is performing the mitzvah of healing protect her or him from claims of damage and injury? After all, remember that in installment 27, we read how the Ramban explains that the Torah's permit for the practice of medicine comes to reassure physicians, telling them not to refrain from practicing medicine out of the fear that they'll be held liable for damages. So how does the halakha resolve this question? Well, you're never going to believe this, but there's a machloket. That's right. It turns out there are conflicting approaches to the issue among the authorities. So let's start with the Ramban himself in his Sefer Torah Ta'adam, which begins on line 1 of the source sheet. He opens with our kasha. If the Torah grants the physician the permit or license to practice medicine, why does the Tosefta tell us that the expert physician who practices with the permission of the Beit Din is nonetheless held liable for damage that he causes accidentally, bishogeg? Ramban's answer begins on line 11 and line 16. Harofe kidayan mitzuve ladun. The physician is analogous to the judge, the dayan, who is obligated, mitzuve, to perform his judicial function. The rule is that if the judge errs and is not aware of his mistake, then ein alav onesh klal. He's not penalized at all. Why? She'ein ladayan ela masha enav ro'ot, because a judge can act only on the basis of his or her best judgment, literally what he sees. That is, if the dayan performs the judicial task as he should, carefully and with proper attention to the law and to the evidence, then the judge's decision is valid even if it turns out to be wrong. We don't expect the judge to be perfect, but only that he'll do his job, which is a mitzvah, by the way, to the best of his ability. What more can you ask, right? Well, look at line 13. Im dan bershut beit din patur, afkan medine adam patur minatashlumin, even though one who judges with the permission or the license of the beit din is exempt from liability for wrong decisions, that exemption applies only to human law. The judge is exempt from the duty to pay compensation, in this case to the party that got the raw deal. But the judge is not exempt from divine law until he pays compensation or goes into exile if he should execute an innocent person. In other words, even though he's done his job as best he can, still, by rendering an erroneous decision, the judge has wrongfully deprived a person of money or freedom or, chas v'shalom, of life. This is nezek. This is real harm. So while the law does not force the judge to compensate the victim or go into exile, after all, the judge followed the rules and acted as he or she was commanded to do, we say that the judge is morally obligated, under Dinei Shamayim, the law of heaven, to make things right. I mean, who knows? Maybe the judge has a conscience and will want to do the right thing. And besides, if we believe that the judge will someday have to render an account before the Beit Din Shel Ma'ala, the heavenly tribunal, well, that's at least an incentive to pay damages, even if we don't compel the judge to do so while he or she is still alive. Ramban goes on to apply this reasoning to the case of the physician, who, like the judge, holds an individual's life in his or her hands. Quoting another Tosefta passage, we're on line 26 now, Rofe uman sheripe bershut beit din patur medine adam v'chayav bedine shamayim. The qualified physician who practices with the permission or license of the Beit Din is exempt from liability under human law, but culpable under divine law. And as we see in lines 36 through 42, the Shulchan Aruch eventually codifies this standard as halacha in Yoredeya Siman Shin Lamed Vav, or 336. Well, that's the first viewpoint in the halacha. The second is represented by the Tashbetz. That's Rabbi Shimon ben Samach Duran of the 15th century. He pretty much follows Ramban, but with one important distinction. According to the Tashbetz, line 45 and 61, the Rofe Uman we've been talking about is the surgeon, the physician who treats wounds with barzel, with iron tools, but not the internal medicine doc who administers what he calls potions, laxatives, and powders. That doctor is exempt from all damage claims, even under Dine Shemayim, the laws of heaven. That doctor has no moral obligation to pay compensation. What's the difference? Well, Tashbetz claims that drugs taken by mouth do not cause the sort of havalah, observable and, we would add, quantifiable damage that requires compensation. Okay, well, this distinction might have made sense in the 15th century when people weren't so certain about the direct relationship between medications and their undesired side effects. How could you be sure that the damage to the patient's health or the patient's death was not the result of the disease itself rather than the drug, right? But the current state of scientific medical knowledge renders this distinction outdated, to say the least. Now we get to the third approach, that of Rav Nissim Gerondi, the Ran, one of the great Sephardic Rishonim. He's discussing the question raised in Talmud Sanhedrin of whether a son is allowed to perform a medical procedure like removing a thorn or splinter from his father. The concern here is that in doing so, in causing his father to bleed, the son may run afoul of the prohibition in Exodus chapter 21, verse 15, which the rabbis understand to prohibit a child from causing any substantial wound to a parent, not just killing the parent, but wounding the parent. Now, you might argue that the son should be permitted to wound his parent if the goal is benign, that is, refuah, or healing. But then, what happens if the procedure is unsuccessful and it doesn't bring about healing? Is the son, in that case, then capable or culpable for the injury? The Ran notes that we could ask the same thing about all medical treatment. Take a look at lines 65 and 71. Ella, behold deval sherufuah, yesh lecha lomar ken, shekulan hem sakana lecholeh. With any medical procedure, one must be concerned about mortal injury, since all of them, all medical procedures, involve danger to the patient. If the physician errs in administering a particular medication, that might kill the patient. Okay, well, if that's the case, shouldn't the physician be subject to the penalty of exile for causing accidental death, that is, the penalty for an accidental murderer, a shogeg? And the Ran says no, because shaharofe hamumche kisheyit'e berufuatav eno shogeg ela anus. You must conclude that the expert physician, should he err in the practice of medicine, is not considered an accidental killer, that is, bishogeg, but one who is coerced, an anus, someone who's coerced into committing an error, because the physician is permitted by the Torah to practice medicine, as we learn in Bavli Bava Kamma 85a. That is a vital distinction. A shogeg, the inadvertent sinner, must pay the penalty for his or her transgression. Not to be sure the same penalties they would pay if they were mazid, one who sins intentionally, but a penalty nonetheless. After all, you did the action, you got to pay the penalty. But an anus, someone who's coerced into doing something, is generally considered patur, exempt from culpability for the action that he or she was forced into performing. What's the coercion in this case? Well, the Ran says, rather daringly, it's the Torah itself, the mitzvah that requires the physician to heal. That coerces the physician to practice. And if so, the physician is shielded from all liability from compensation, not only according to human law, but even the moral liability that comes under the heading of Dine Shamayim. Now, the standard the Ron puts forth certainly goes easy on physicians. But remember that even the Ramban holds that physicians are liable only midine shamayim, that is, they are morally but not legally obligated to compensate the patient they injure. According to the halakha, it seems, according to all the views we've read, physicians almost never have to pay for their mistakes. That conclusion is stated explicitly in the Aruch HaShulchan, the turn of the 20th century work, by Rabbi Yechiel Michal Epstein, and that's on lines 87 through 94. If the physician practices with a license and causes damage through error, he is exempt from liability under human law, but culpable under divine law, so far following the Ramban, provided, he says, that the error resulted al yedei hidrashluto, from his negligence, velo iyen yafeh, that is, he did not examine the patient carefully. But if the physician did examine the patient carefully and yet still caused injury, the physician has done nothing wrong, for indeed it is a mitzvah to heal. As the proverb states, shigigat harofeh kavanat haboreh, the doctor's mistake is the will of heaven. Okay, well, with that little bit of questionable theology, we come to the end. It looks as though the halakha grants the physician an almost total protection against legal claims, enforceable claims, for damages that he or she causes a patient, even as a result of the physician's negligence. But that conclusion would be a hasty one. The matter, it turns out, is a lot more complicated, but we'll have to wait for the next installment to explore just why and how that is so. Till then, this has been the 12-Minute Shiur number 29 from the Frihof Institute of Progressive Halakha. Thanks for learning with us. Lehitraot.